It is Canty and Carlin here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Harry Douglas. I'm Matt Jones. That conversation was in part because tonight Hard Knocks debuts. The Detroit Lions are the team, and apparently, Harry, Aiden Hutchinson does the rookie singing, and he does Michael Jackson, Billie Jean. And apparently, according to early reports, it's the best rookie singing performance ever. Tonight, Aiden Hutchinson doing Billie Jean. Are you excited to see that?
Of course I am. I definitely will be tuned in. I'm a huge fan of Hard Knocks. And I think with all the you look at Dan Campbell and what he's been able to present us with laughs and a bunch of giggles, I think we'll be able to watch that and enjoy it.
I think it's going to be a very interesting. Hard Knocks is all about the personalities of the people on it. And Dan Campbell, I think he might be insane, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be great television.
Exciting.
And so I am very much looking forward to it. Now, we were talking earlier, Roquan Smith has demanded a trade from my Chicago Bears. He's the best player they have, and it's disappointing that to me that's happened. But it's the way it goes. The Bears have said they offered him a record-setting contract, but Roquan Smith had this to say, Harry. Tell everybody what he said in his statement about said contract offer.
He wrote, "Unfortunately, the new front office regime doesn't value me here. They refuse to negotiate in good faith. Every step of this journey has been take it or leave it. The deal sent to me is one that would be bad for myself and the entire linebacker market if I signed it. I've been trying to get something done that's fair since April, but their focus has been on trying to take advantage of me." That's not good.
Pretty strong words. Now, the Bears GM, Ryan Poles, had this to say about the same offer.
"There's record-setting pieces of this contract I knew for a fact was going to show him the respect that he deserves, and obviously that hasn't been the case. With that said, you know, we can't lose sight that this isn't about one player. My job is to build a roster that's going to sustain success for a long period of time."
So it's clear. I mean, again, we're not in the negotiations, Harry, so we don't know what they said. We don't know what's what. We can only take the statements. But it is clear to me, hearing those statements, especially from Roquan, that it's not just about, at least to him, this idea of a difference in money. He wants to give – they want to give 20, I want 22, which is the kind of thing you can work out. When you're saying about showing me the respect I deserve, it's almost like you're taking that personally. And, Harry, it feels like to me that's a lot harder to come back from.
It is, but he also said that he would love to play for the Bears organization. But here's the thing. When I think about Matt Eberflus and I think about his years while he was there with the Indianapolis Colts and Darius Leonard and what he meant to his defense, I think about a guy like Roquan Smith and how valuable he can be to what they're trying to build there in Chicago. Now, granted, it may take some years in doing so, but when you look at a guy like Roquan Smith, who is a solid veteran that a lot of young players may look up to and count on and to lean on and give him direction, you don't want to lose that guy. This is a guy that had 100-and-something tackles last year and led this team. But when you think about the rest of the veterans that are no longer with him, you think about Akeem Hicks, right? You think about Khalil Mack. You think about Allen Robinson. Now you have this going on with Roquan Smith. You don't want to kind of lose your locker room when you have a guy like Roquan that so many people within that organization respects at the highest level, because you know he's going to bring it, not just in the game situations, but the practice, to the meeting rooms when it comes to mentoring younger guys. And he's going to go out there and perform on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, whatever the night may be that you play a game on. So losing a valuable guy like Roquan Smith is going to be devastating for their roster, and I think you need guys like that, especially when you're having a lot of young guys and you're trying to turn things around in Chicago and get that bad narrative off of their jerseys. So I think a guy like Roquan Smith is definitely needed, and I think it would be a travesty if Matt Eberflus and the Bears organization, Ryan Poles, and those guys lose Roquan Smith.
It would
Smith.
Be bad. I don't get the sense that it's over. I mean, when you say I'd still like to play, then you're leaving the door open.
Of course.
And to me, as long as things are about money, you can find a way to work them out. Because if it's about money, like, there is an ending result. The only thing that worried me about that statement was this idea of respect. Because I know – okay, so Harry, this is just me and you talking. Nobody's listening, right?
Talk to me, baby.
I know in my business life, there was one time that I felt like an offer for a job was so low that I did think it was disrespectful. And it became almost impossible for me to get over that because it was almost like just you saying that says what you think about me. Now, I'm not saying what Ryan Poles offered is that. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But if legitimately Roquan Smith thinks that, because I remember when I thought that, and I thought to myself, I'll never work for these people again. Now, I did. I ended up continuing because the next one was a lot better. But there was a hurdle, Harry, that I had to get over mentally. It wasn't just about finding a number. It was about you're going to have to prove to me that this disrespect, I don't feel it. That can actually be a lot more difficult, Harry, to actually accomplish for a team.
It can. And I'll tell you, I'm going to praise Roquan Smith because a lot of times people may say, well, if this is a ton of money, you should take it. No, first of all, you should understand your worth. Understand your worth and know what your worth is, not to just take any and everything. And that's what Roquan Smith is doing right here in this situation. But I got to commend him because you have a lot on a lot of occasions where it doesn't have to be professional sports. You have people not understanding their worth when their worth might be a ton more than what people are offering them.
But worth is different, Harry, in a salary cap situation. Because in a salary cap situation, you have to balance a person's worth, which I agree is what it is, with the overall, what do we want to do with this team? And he may be worth a lot more than the Bears, though, can actually do to accomplish what they want with a rebuilding team. I just think that's in the real world.
No, that's
what
a great,
you're
that's
saying.
That's a great way to look at it, though.
Exactly. In the real world, you're exactly right. You should get as much as you can. But in the salary cap world, which is not really the real world, there's another inhibiting factor.
But I have one question. I'll ask you this. Who's the best player on the Bears team right now?
It's Roquan Smith.
Okay. Case closed.
Yeah. But again, it might be the case that in his mind, he's worth, just to use a crazy number, $10 million more than any linebacker. Yeah. And maybe he could get somebody to pay it. But for the Bears, they're just like, I just can't do that because we're not winning whether we pay you this or not. And that may be what ultimately does it in.
He's 25 years
old. I know.
He's only been in the league 4 years.
But I'm just saying, Harry, you don't know what he's demanding, though. It's impossible to say.
We don't.
You don't know what he's demanding, and I don't either.
And I give you
that. That makes it a lot harder.
True story.
That is just one story from training camp. But there are a lot of stories going on. We need to whip around all the training camps. Get a big whip around on all NFL training camp. That's next here on Candy and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Canty and Carlin here, presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Harry Douglas. I'm Matt Jones, educating each other on the various parts of life. And now it is time to talk a little training camp. It's going on all over the place, and it's hard when there are 32 NFL teams. Like, what do you say? There's stuff happening in all of them. So our producer, Evan, has come up with something he likes to call Evan's Whip Around. And Evan's Whip Around is he will give us news from all the training camps – and then we'll comment it. So let's go. It's Evan's whip around. Evan, what's first?
All right, Harry. From Browns camp, here's Jake Trotter, our Browns reporter, saying that wide receiver punt returner Jakeem Grant might have suffered a serious Achilles injury in practice today. Grant was having a terrific camp out of the slot and returning kicks. Punts would be a huge blow. What are your thoughts on the potential Jakeem Grant injury at Browns camp?
Yeah, you look at a guy who can change the game in a blink of an eye because every time he touches the ball, he's going to be electrifying. But when I look at the Browns and I look at the where their makeup is running the football, right, two backs, even though Kareem Hunt has requested a trade, right now they currently still have those two running backs. I don't think it's going to be that much of a factor in the return game, yes, but when it comes to on the field play offensively, I don't think it would be that big of a deal.
In the big picture, Harry, do you think punt returns matter? I mean, if you got Devin Hester, obviously they matter. But if you just have a regular average everyday punt returner, does it really make that much of a difference?
I'll say this. If you can score, set up a score, yes. But if you just have an average guy, you are taught to just secure the football and try to get one first down. So that's one less first down that the offense has to try to hit.
So an average guy, it's not that big a deal.
No.
Yeah.
An electrifying guy like a Devin Hester or Cordell Patterson, he does make kick returns, though. But a Pat-Man Jones, when he was doing it, yes, it matters. But everyday guy, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Evan?
One of the stories that I've been interested in all training camp is the Patriots offense. Who's calling plays? What does Mac Jones look like? It's like Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, Bill Belichick, all these defensive guys. So Mac Jones said today, I'm going to figure it out. I always have, I always will. At the end of the day, you're going to have your ups and downs with anything new, but I've learned a lot of different systems, and the guys around me have too. So, Mac Jones, how concerned are you about the Patriots offense and Mac Jones in year two with this collection of defensive coordinators calling the offensive plays?
I first met Mac Jones when he was a sophomore in high school, Harry. He was he committed to Kentucky as a sophomore in high school, and I talked to him on the phone interviewing him. And I remember thinking, I've never talked to a 16-year-old that has more belief in his intelligence than Mac Jones. And actually, it led me in some ways to kind of be turned off by it. But then I learned over the days that I actually think his bravado about how smart he was kind of true. I mean, he was a very smart player at Alabama. I would say his intelligence in some ways on the field was even more than his talent a lot of the time. I think that's part of why the Patriots liked him so much. So whoever ends up calling the plays, Harry, I feel like it'll be fine, and I feel like Mac Jones will be able to pick it up. His quotes sometimes for a guy who hadn't won anything yet come off a little harsh, but to be honest with you, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, his intelligence make up for what he's definitely lacking physically when it comes to the game of football, but I'm concerned about this. I am definitely concerned, and when you lose a guy like Josh McDaniels, who goes to the Las Vegas Raiders to be the head coach, and then you think about Matt Patricia. No, I can't get the image out of my head of Matt Patricia being in Detroit and couldn't get it done. And I can't get the image out of my head that Joe Judge was in New York with the Giants and he couldn't get the damn job done. But you have both of these guys coming back and want to call
everybody's
plays.
Everybody's better with Belichick. Everybody. Think about all the guys that have left him and not been successful, and then they come back and they're good. Like that, you're always better with him. It's like Saban at Alabama. They're just better if they're around him.
Yeah, but I will say this, though. When you think about offensive coordinator, you think about calling plays, calling the right ones in special moments. And people make fun about this, but right hash, left hash, what the call here? You're in shot territory once you cross the 50-plus yard line. What am I going to dial up? It's third and short. It's fourth and one. What are my go-tos? But you got to be able to deliver it and call it right into the headphones so the quarterback can get it in swiftly. Audibles, check with me's. All those things play a factor when you – exactly. I see you laughing right now. All those things come in the mind, man, when you think about play caller and offenses being on the same page, because unlike defense, you can have one or two guys mess up defensively and a guy make a play and it's good. Offensively, all 11 guys have to be in unison on one accord.
I wish you could have heard that interview I did with Mac Jones. I got off the phone and I was like, this guy, good grief, this guy. But, hey, it worked out for him. He's more successful than I'll ever be, but my goodness. What's next, Evan?
From one former Alabama quarterback to another. This is from Eagles camp, Jalen Hurts on new wide receiver A.J. Brown. We have a ton of great playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. A.J. just makes plays. That's what he does. He's done it for a while now in the league. Hopefully he continues to do it. I know he will. So, Harry Douglas, what are realistic expectations for the Eagles offense?
I think this offense could be one of the best in the National Football League. They were the number one rushing offense. I think one of the key pieces that they missed last year was a guy like A.J. Brown, who was a big body wide receiver that you could just throw it up. They had a clip the other day of them practicing in the stadium and A.J. Brown making a contested touchdown catch and going down and getting it. But those are the memories that I remember from A.J. Brown being with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. That's what they miss, another big body guy. Now you have that to go along with the number one rushing offense in the NFL. What, if not the best, top two or three offensive line, a solid defense, I think the Eagles can make a lot more noise than people think they actually can.
So you believe in Jalen Hurts?
I do.
Okay. I don't know if I do or not. I mean, I think this is going to be a great test. The best thing about getting A.J. Brown for Philadelphia is at the end of this year, you're going to know. Yep. You know what I mean? You're going to know. And the worst thing for a quarterback is almost like the situation the Giants were in after last year, where there's enough good stuff that you want to keep him, but there's enough bad stuff that you're not sure, and you're left in this, well, we got to try again. I think with Jalen Hurts, when you bring in A.J. Brown, you're going to know at 100%. The end of this year if he's the guy. I think that's the best part of doing it. I think it'll probably work, but if it doesn't, you know this isn't the guy, and you can make decisions in what will be a loaded quarterback draft next year, Harry, as to what you're going to do. So I think that's why it was such a good decision, and I want to see him on the field.
And they have that draft capital to make decisions however they want to make them.
Exactly.
As well.
I mean, that next year's quarterback class has a chance to be one of the best. There's seven guys that could go in the first round. There's three or four guys that could go in the top 10. Yep. So you got a lot of opportunities if you need to do it. What's next?
No, it's funny. You know, most mock drafts I've seen have six. It's funny that Matt says seven, trying to get Kentucky's Levis.
Will Levis is in it now. He's number three behind the – listen, don't try to get me upset, Evan. Will Levis is in it. If you don't believe me, go ask Louisville when he scored about eight touchdowns against
them. Well, I'm glad you brought that – no, well, hold on, Evan. I'm glad you brought that up. We had him on First Take, and I told him if he ever disrespected Louisville like that again, I'm coming to Lexington, and I'm going to take my damn belt off myself.
L's down. He scored so many times, they made him the mayor of Louisville. That's how many touchdowns he scored last year.
Oh, I can't
what
wait
is,
till
what
they
even
tattoo
call that
his
stadium
ass.
Now? Papa John's, Domino's, whatever it is.
No,
what's your next one?
Cardinal Stadium. Cardinal Stadium.
Cardinal Stadium. Go ahead. What's next?
The 49ers, it's depth chart season. The 49ers released their unofficial depth chart. Here's their quarterbacks. Trey Lance, Nate Sudfeld, Brock Purdy, and Jimmy G, in that order. Jimmy G listed fourth on the 49ers unofficial depth chart. That is depth chart season.
It's disrespectful.
That's what's the best landing spot for Jimmy G? Because that clearly shows that they are going to trade him or release him.
That is disrespectful, Harry. Listen, if people who listen to me on this, they know my feelings about Jimmy G. I don't want to like him because he's too handsome, but you can't help it. He's gone, and he beat Green Bay twice on the road in the playoffs. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been in an NFC Championship game. Now, maybe you have to move on because you picked Trey Lance and you got to use him. I understand that argument. But making him fourth string is just disrespectful. Behind Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy. Come on. I mean, he's a Purdy passer, but he is not the ahead of Jimmy G. Harry, it is disrespectful.
No, it's not. Why am I putting him ahead of people when I know he's not going to be here? I know they're going
to
trade him
or
get rid of him at some point.
Why are they so quick to get rid of him? What if Trey Lance gets hurt? You could still make a run with Jimmy G.
That's the decision that they made. Now, when we talk about best landing spots, I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns, especially because Deshaun Watson is going to be looking at probably a year being suspended. So if I have a roster that's built like them, especially offensively, number five defense, let me throw that in there. You have your two running back deep, your two tight end deep. You have one of the better offensive lines. You have Amari Cooper. I'm plugging in Jimmy G because when has he been at his best? When he had a run game and a great defense. So I'm going to plug him right in at Cleveland and let him do his wonders.
If I don't know the salary cap situation with that because they're already paying Baker, paying him, all this stuff. But if there's money to do it, then I actually agree with you. I think that would be the best place. If there's money to do it, I just don't know if there is. Behind Brock Purdy. Come on, man. That's not even nice. Now,
Brock Purdy. Miss Purdy.
Now, I said a few minutes ago, and it got some people frustrated, that I think Serena is the best athlete at her sport of anybody ever. There's nobody who's been better at their sport than Serena was at her sport. But here's my question for you. Does anybody disagree? 888-SAY-ESPN. Who would be up there with Serena as being better at their sport than anyone else that's at it? The only person I can even think is close is Gretzky, but if you got a better one, Harry and I will listen and we'll judge you. 888-SAY-ESPN. But before we get to that, Harry, tell me about FanDuel.
Start the second half of the baseball season the right way and turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code PLAY. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in match bets if you don't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code PLAY to get started with no-sweat first bet up to $1,000.
So disrespectful to Jimmy G. It is Canty and Carlin here. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Harry Douglas. I'm Matt Jones. I threw it out there and said, Harry, that I think Serena is the best to ever do a sport of all time. And she is potentially, well, she is. She didn't use the word retiring, but she was essentially saying she was retiring in a Vogue magazine article that was actually really fascinating, Harry, about the athlete mindset. It was kind of, she was basically saying, it is hard for me to contemplate not doing this thing I've been doing my whole life. You had to come to that realization at some point that you were going to stop this thing that you had done since you were a little kid. How hard is that transition to just give up what you've done forever?
It's one of the hardest decisions that you would ever make in your life. And then when you think about it, you think about people like a Tom Brady, a Tiger Woods. For most of their life, they have been doing one thing. You think about Tom Brady for 20-plus years, he has been playing football. So his entire adulthood, that's what he's been doing. Tiger Woods, since he's been a teenager, that's what he has been doing. So it's a difficult decision, but you also think about it like this, and I'm pretty sure.
But for you, what was it like? Like when you had to say no more?
No, it was tough, but I was ready to move on to my next chapter in my life.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I was. I was ready to move on and to the next thing that I wanted to get into. So it wasn't as hard for me. I mean, it's always going to be tough because I've been playing football since I was like 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the tough part about it.
Yeah, well, for Serena, not only to do it, but to be the best at it, it's got to be hard. But it's also, I think, hard when you've been the dominant person and you're not quite as dominant anymore. You're still out there going, and you remember what you were. I think that's also a level. That's what you meant talking about Tiger. That's one of the things Tiger dealt with is dealing with, is he still can play. He can still win, but he'll never be the Tiger he was. And so how do you keep doing it when you're not the guy you were? I think that's tough. All right, so I asked you, who are some people maybe that are as good at their sport as Serena was at hers? And ESPN's tennis analyst James Blake is going to join us at 6:30. Let's get started. Tim is in Cincinnati. Tim, who do you think is as good at their sport as or dominant as Serena was at tennis?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Michael Phelps in swimming was dominant from the beginning to the end of his career.
Swimming's a little harder for me because there are so many different events. It's hard to say that, like, one person that did a certain set of events is definitively the best. I think Phelps is the best, but there are people who will make arguments for other people. Would you put Phelps as being as dominant, Harry, at swimming as Serena is at tennis?
I wouldn't put Phelps there, and I know he was outstanding within the water and swimming and really putting, from a country's perspective, I would say, you know, putting his country on the map in those regards as well. But when I look at people like Serena, who just didn't make a difference on the court but made it off the court, not saying that Michael Phelps didn't do that, I think she has a stronger case.
Okay, I agree with you that she did more off the court, but that's not really. I mean, we're talking about who's dominant, like who absolutely dominates their sport.
Yeah, she dominated off and on the court.
No, she definitely dominated. I mean, look, I'm making the claim she's the most dominant of all time, but what I don't know that, like, advocacy off the court is about dominance. You know what I mean? Like, not to downplay it at all, but I just don't know that that's the same. I mean, Michael Phelps won gold medals in multiple Olympics on a variety of different types of events. Mm-hmm. You know, people who know swimming say he's the best of all time. I just think the gap between Serena and Steffi Graf is so huge that it's almost impossible for a swimmer to be able to sort of match that gap.
I understand where you're coming from.
Brandon is in Reno. What do you got, Brandon?
Hey, guys. This is also keeping it with the water just a little different. I personally think Kelly Slater is probably the most dominant surfer of all time, and he's been doing it since 89. So.
All right, now – I will admit, I know nothing about surfing except I watched a really good documentary about it on HBO Max called The Big Wave or something like that. But do you, Harry, you started shaking your head the moment he said it. You just completely going to dismiss surfing as being in the conversation?
I'm not, Matt, because I went out to San Diego one time. Like, my buddy lives like right on the water, and he took me out surfing. You talk about my abs and my core and my groin and everything and my body hurting for days. So I'm not going to sit up here and discredit surfers because
– but you were shaking your head when he said it.
Yeah, because that's the last thing I'm going to think about is a surfer in this category. That's why
Brandon,
I'm
who's
my
the
head.
Second best surfer of all time?
Well, my favorite who's close to up there is Andy Irons, but yeah. He unfortunately passed a little earlier than his time. But I think he's the second greatest, and that's one of the best rivalries, I think, in sports, honestly, with Andy Irons versus Kelly Slater. They did it for 10 years, back-to-back championship.
There you go. Well, Harry, now you know what to look up, Kelly Slater versus Andy Irons. And you can why you got to be so harsh on surfing? You already said it was hard. Why do you have to be harsh on it?
And that's why, because it left my body sore as hell, and I haven't forgave the surf gods for it. That's why.
Let's do one more quickly. Eli in Maryland, who you got?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm circling back to Tiger Woods, I think, for sure. It's hard to say anything negative about Serena, but Tiger, I think, just set the bar for –
But here's why I would – first of all, I think Tiger's the greatest of all time. I'm not dismissing that. But here's why I don't think the gap is as big. Because there's still the issue that Jack has more majors, right? Like, that's still the issue.
15, yeah.
Now, with that said, I think Tiger winning 15 now is harder than Jack winning 18 then. But, Eli, you still have that as an issue of people going, well, you can't say it's definitively the best by a huge gap if the most important thing he's not even the top on.
I agree.
All right. Well, Eli, I guess we lost Eli there. Does that matter to you, Harry, at all?
Yeah. And that's one of the main things I was thinking about when it came to Tiger is that you think about Jack Nicklaus and him having 18 majors and Tiger at 15. Now, granted, I think you brought up the most important point. I think getting to 18 is tougher in today's game than it was.
Oh, significantly tougher. Significantly tougher.
I think that's the most important.
The game has opened up to the world in a way that it did not then. And there are just more people that play. Back when Jack played, it was kind of a country club sport. It's not as much anymore. I think it is much harder now. Kenny and Carlin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700. On average. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can still get in with who you think is equally as good. Maybe try to convince Harry that surfing is a sport. You were so dismissive of surfing. I think you just
I didn't
like
say it was a sport. Stop.
You don't like the bros who surf. You don't like their hair. You don't like their beads.
Cowabunga, dude.
See, so Cowabunga, dismissive dude. Of those good surfers that are out there. One of them needs to call and let you have it. We'll deal with that and a little football. That's next here on Canty and Carlin. It is Canty and Carlin here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry, former Oklahoma assistant football coach Cale Gundy, read a racially charged word aloud multiple times, according to the head coach Brent Venables, and he then resigned from the program. Venables said he knows what he did was wrong. He chose to read aloud to his players not once but multiple times a racially charged word, and Coach Gundy did the right thing in resigning. Originally, when this came out, Gundy had made a statement where he said he did it once. Venables now said he did it a bunch of times. Apparently there was a player who wasn't paying attention. He was supposed to be taking notes. He didn't. The coach picked up the what his notes were, and it was something else, and he read what it was. When you heard the story, did you think resigning was the right thing?
Of course, because things like this can't be accepted in any workplace, in any forms, shapes or sizes, however you want to put it. But we got to understand, like, we got to do better. We got to understand that, like, you can't say certain things. And the simple fact that he read it not once but multiple times – like, it bothers me because we're still at this place where people don't know that, hey, maybe I shouldn't say this. Maybe I shouldn't read this. And I'll be frankly honest with you. I don't care that people are coming out and saying that, hey, Coach Gundy's my guy. This is this. Trust me, I don't care. Coach Gundy should have known better.
Well, Coach Gundy can be your guy, and he still shouldn't have done it, right?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that this incident, I think we're very quick in this world to just dismiss people as human beings and say they're awful because of one thing. I wouldn't say that. I don't know this guy. I mean, he may be a great guy. But sometimes you can do something, Harry, that's so bad, you got to quit. Like, you got – that doesn't mean he should never work again. But it may be the case that because, Harry, this happened, he has to resign.
No, I agree with you. And he's someone who's been with that program for a very, very long time. But he used piss poor judgment. That's exactly how I'm going to put it. It was piss poor judgment by him, someone who should have known better. And not all the time you should prove your point by doing things that you think is right. And I don't even know how you would think that is even right, though. I think that's why it's bothering me so much, man.
I agree. I don't know how. Listen, it had to be one of these things that when he said it the first time, he had to have looked up and gone, this is not going well, and then you just keep doing it. Part of it to me is college coaches, and you know this, college football coaches believe they can do anything. Anything. Right. Like, they are kings of a castle, and they can do absolutely anything, and I think it leads to them making mistakes like this. Because if there's nobody to tell them no, and you just keep going and going, and you end up doing things that you look back on as dumb. I'll tell you what, when you do a show with Harry Douglas here on Canty and Carlin, you feel like you got a workout because he makes you bring your A game. I'm Matt Jones. I have 4 hours of radio. It's a marathon, and you got to be ready. But the thing about Harry is it's a marathon with somebody that's sprinting the whole time. Like, he doesn't just say, okay, this is going to be a segment where we just jog for a little bit. Like, if you watch the Tour de France and they're in the pack for a lot, you know what I'm saying? The Peloton. He's going full speed moment one.
Full throttle, baby.
And so after 2 hours, I've already gone through my bag of big chewy nerds, and I got to do something else to get my energy up in order to fight with him. 888-SAY-ESPN. We were talking about Serena Williams and how she is definitively better than everyone else in tennis. And who else in sports was definitively better than everybody that they is in their sport to that degree? The best answer I've seen so far is Michael Phelps. I still wouldn't quite put him over Serena, but I think that's the best. Harry completely dismissed surfing with Kelly Slater. He literally said, surfing is the weakest thing I've ever seen. That was a direct quote, Harry, wasn't it?
No, you can't do that to me because, you know, the people, I'm going to get the hate tweets.
You're going to get the surfer hate?
Now I got to put people in their place because, you know, I don't bite my tongue.
They're over there. Don't worry about the surfers. They're over there drinking
tea. I cannot put surfing up there, especially the surf gods, the way y'all treated me when I went surfing for the first time and left my body feeling as sore as it did. And I was actually highly working out at the time. So, nope, I haven't forgiven any surfers. I haven't forgiven the surf gods. So, no, you're not even in the equation.
All right. Surfers are over there drinking tea with Aaron Rodgers anyway. They're not worried about it. It's 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's go to Andre in Massachusetts. Andre, who you got?
Yeah, how you doing? Speaking of the greatest, we have to get the White Mamba, that's Diana Taurasi, into the conversation. You know, I heard we're talking about the Olympics previous calls. She got 5 gold medals. We want to talk about league championships. She got 3 WNBA championships, 2 finals MVPs. Okay, want to talk about college level? That's another 3 natties that she has, 2 most outstanding player awards. So the White Mamba, Diana Taurasi, I think she flies under the radar. all-time WNBA leading scorer.
Wow, look at this. Okay. I feel like I'm listening to her agent. Let me tell you how you know you did a good job. The whole time you were talking, I'm watching Harry on the Zoom. He was dancing the entire time. Harry, you liked that answer so much you were dancing the entire time.
Well, what was his name, Andre?
I think it was Andre. Yeah, in Massachusetts.
Andre, listen, my man. I commend you because Diana Taurasi is my favorite basketball player, especially when women. She's my favorite women's basketball player. And I vividly remember when she was on the baseline, the national championship game, and spun out of bounds and shot it with her left hand and hit nothing but nets. Diana Taurasi has had my eye since she was at UConn, and she's actually someone that allow my daughter, who's 6 years old now, and wants me to teach her how to play basketball, but I actually show her a lot of Diana Taurasi.
Wow.
So she can want to do it even more. So Diana Taurasi is like, when I mean up there, she's up there for me. So I love that answer, Andre. I love it.
All right, let's go to Kenny in Tennessee. First of all, Kenny, where are you in Tennessee? And don't say Knoxville.
Clarksville, Tennessee.
All right, Clarksville, that's close to Nashville. That's the good side of Tennessee. All right, so what do you got?
Man, I know you only just hear me out now. I got more than one, but I don't know which one to get.
Kenny, I want you to go with whichever one you like, because I already like you with that twang. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Ray Lewis. He dominated his position better than any player in the history of football, and he made everybody around him great.
There you go. Is Ray Lewis the best linebacker definitively, Harry, as much as Serena is the best tennis player? What are you going you going to try to tell Kenny in Tennessee he's wrong?
Listen, man, Ray Lewis was an outstanding linebacker. Like, we know that, but it was so many people.
Best linebacker of all time? Is he? Best linebacker of all time?
Oh.
I think he got picked that. ESPN did their thing.
No.
I think they just picked him as that, just like last week.
But what's the gap between him and other linebackers?
Yeah, it's not high.
That's the thing.
It's very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wherever you put Ray Lewis, he's very close to everybody else. Yeah, so I would not put him in there.
But did we forget about somebody named Lawrence Taylor? I know a lot of people, he was an outside linebacker, but OLB.
You're just saying linebacker. Yeah. Let's go to Don in Dallas. Who you going with, Don?
Hey, I got two quick things here. Thanks for taking the call. As far as who's the greatest, I would have to go with Deion Sanders because there's hands down, he's the greatest cornerback of all time. But, Harry, I want to ask you, because Bart and on their previous show had the Mount Rushmore. Bart put Floyd Mayweather on the Mount Rushmore and took off LeBron James. But, Harry, we're from the South. You cannot be the best fighter of all time, best fighter, and dodged somebody for 5 years.
Ooh, that's a tough one because Floyd, I will say, he never lost, and he showed a great brand of boxing. But when you got into the ring with Floyd, your chances of hitting Floyd were going to be minimized. But you are right, he did dodge a lot, and you see guys like Muhammad Ali who. He danced around the ring, but he took some shots, and he did it rightfully so. But I don't know. I don't know if you can dismantle Floyd Mayweather being on Mount Rushmore.
All right, well, Floyd's not on it. That's nonsense. Whoever said that, Bart's wrong. But that's all right. There's a lot more to go, including an injury with the Jets. That's next on Kenny and Garland.